Hi, I'm Nicole Atkins.
Or, as you like to call yourself, wait, what is it? A crooner sometimes known to associate with Vikings.
That's correct, yes.
So we have to get to that right away. We have to get to the important stuff.
Okay.
Vikings.
Vikings and Giants now.
Vikings and Giants. So Vikings of the industry, like Giants of the industry?
No, just Swedish people and 7 foot tall bad seeds.
New Jersey, since then, I believe you moved to New York City. The PR says there's a new boyfriend. All the important rock and roll stuff. The things we really care about. But what I love is the stuff between the lines. And we haven't talked to since 2007. Uh-huh. And you haven't had an album out for a couple. So what is some stuff between the lines that you always wish people would actually talk about?
I'm a really great tap dancer.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
15 years of tap dancing.
Now you see, you're saying that with such conviction that I don't know whether that's true or not.
It's totally true.
It is?
Uh-huh.
So have you ever thought, you know, if this singing, rock and roll, chanteuse thing doesn't work out, maybe you'll just...
Well, I mean, that's what I was my original goal to begin with. The singing thing just got me more work, got me more paychecks than the tap dancing did.
There's just not enough roles for tap dancers these
days.
No,
there's not enough tapping jobs.
How do we fix that?
I don't know. I don't think that's up to us.
2.5 years since Mondo, right?
Mondo Amore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Catch me up for the next few minutes on that 2 years.
The 2 years, though, yeah, I finished my album and we finished up our touring and I was still on Razor and Tie and didn't know what I wanted to write my record about. So I took some time to figure that out and I ended up getting off of Razor and Tie just because it didn't seem like the right fit. I had writer's block and...
Really?
I ended up going to London just for fun, and I met Jim Sklavounos, the drummer from the Bad Seeds and Grinder Man, and we ended up writing a bunch of songs together, and it really helped me get on my path for, you know, writing again. And then after that, you know, Hurricane Sandy happened, and I was just kind of in a place where, like, shoot, what am I going to do? I didn't have any label or money, and I had the songs ready to go to make a record, and just out of the blue, Tor Johansson, that did my first record from Sweden, emailed me and was like, let's make a record. And I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, don't worry about it. And so I flew to Sweden and made a prog rock record with Tor. It was, you know, at a time in my life, like the whole first story of my house got ruined in the storm. And I was just like, I have nowhere to make a record and nowhere to live right now. And it was exactly what
I... The house in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It was
okay.
Exactly what I needed at the right time. And, you know, Tor was really funny. I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, well, Columbia didn't know they got 2 for 1. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was just really perfect timing.
So then, okay, so now you have this record and you say, great,
mm-hmm.
I have this thing.
Yeah.
What do I do with it? So where did new manager, Pledge Music, what was the order of appearance? How did that all come into the the fore?
It was, the record was finished first. Well, the songs got done first and then I had the songs but didn't know what sound I was going for. And right before I went to Sweden, my friend turned me on to early Genesis and the first Peter Gabriel record. And I was thinking, like, what I am doing right now is good, but this is great. This is so theatrical. And, you know, psychedelic rock and theater have been my two major loves of my life. And when I got to Sweden, I was like, Tor, what do you think of Peter Gabriel? And he was like, he's one of my favorite artists. And so we went down that rabbit hole, and then after the record was finished, I went on the road with the Eels for 56 shows and met my new manager and then signed up with 30 Tigers and did a Pledge Music campaign, and now I'm here with you.
But it's a really interesting thing to turn around and say, I'm going to have my own label, I'm going to do this myself.
Yeah.
But the Pledge Music thing, now back in 2007, that kind of stuff didn't exist.
And
even 2 years ago, people were just starting to do this crowdsource funding thingy.
I did a Kickstarter 2 years ago to buy my tour van.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that worked out great. So when the whole thing with Pledge Music came about, everybody that ended up pledging to get us on the road. We're like, yeah, let's do it again. Because it's a really fun thing. You get to create all these, like, cool little, you know, original artworks and, you know, little fun deluxe packages and gifts, and also to, you know, make beautiful vinyl the way you want it to look and feel and sound, you know.
And what's really cool about that is you now finally have two things. You have ownership, mm-hmm. and your fans really feel like they're connected to
yeah,
you.
Definitely.
And that's a whole different level of you know, of reality. You know, one of the things that's really interesting when you read about Tor is that he says he acquired his skills through trial and error.
Yep.
That he was never trained
yeah.
to do what he does. So when you're working with them, you know, with him, how does mm-hmm. that kind of come into play? Do you see that he's very experimental as
yeah.
a result of the fact that he wasn't a classically trained, you know, person who does what he does?
That's exactly what working with Tor is just sitting around this room that's just cluttered with every type of instrument you can imagine and just playing for 6 to 8 hours and trying to find out what the sound is, you know. And it can be really frustrating when you think it's going to go one way. It always ends up going the other way. But it really is, you know, just this very primal way of making sounds.
But let's start with Girl, You Look Amazing, just
okay.
for kicks, and then we'll get back to the sound. Where did that, because that sounds like it could have been in a makeup commercial, right?
I know, right?
You know, as the tagline, girl, you look amazing.
Where did
that come to the fore? Because if a guy came up to you in a bar, mm-hmm. right, he's here down here at the bar, and he goes, girl, you look amazing.
I can't curse on this video, can I?
Well, I can cut it out. Go ahead.
I'd probably say thank you. I don't know.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't take him seriously.
Oh, my God, a pickup line?
No, I'd probably high-five him. But, I mean, the song, Girl, You Look Amazing, it says, girl, you look amazing, but it's very much...
sarcastic.
It's very sarcastic. It's right. about a girl that just, you know, parties all night and ends up looking and feeling just completely hollow and destroyed.
Okay, I'm going to start with It's Only Chemistry.
Okay.
Some quirky sounds.
It's wild, right?
Really interesting.
I know.
So how did you sit down and go, okay, this is going to twang, this is going to beep, this is going to synth?
Well, the twang came later. Like, Tor ended up adding the banjo, like, when the song was already finished. And at first I was like, no, this is weird. And now I can't imagine it without the banjo.
But the twang, so when people are listening, and I'm purposely bopping around because it's more fun this way.
Yeah.
When somebody puts on what they were expecting to be a Nicole Atkins record,
mm-hmm.
and they hear the twang.
Well, I mean, I think if anybody, too, knows me personally, they know that, like, I got my start in country music, you know? But the whole way that song was done, Tor and Martin, his partner, made the chorus, and they were playing me stuff from their old band. I was like, this chorus is amazing. And so I rewrote the words, and then we just sat. I mean, I think it was like 3 a.m. when we wrote that song and just went wherever our heads took us, because there was no expectations on what it should sound like. We were just going with what it wanted to sound like. You know what I mean?
So who else played on the record? Because you're in Sweden, so it's not like you were able to bring in your players.
Yeah, well, I brought my drummer. My drummer, Sammy, came with me. And so it was me and Sam and just Tor and Martin. And this guy, Lars, that worked at the studio.
There had to be
guitar.
A Lars.
Yeah, and there was an Ulf. I think it's the most, it sounds
it's the most
Nicole-y like
Nicole
me.
Record.
Yes, exactly.
And yet people wouldn't suspect, would they?
No, I mean, if they don't know me personally, but for everybody that does, you know, my jams are psychedelic prog rock and theater. So, and country music.
So then you segue into the worst hangover.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, you know, hangover is bad, the worst hangover.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So tell me about that.
You know those hangovers that you get sometimes where you feel like your heart's ripping out of your chest and
even
you think
you're
going
to
die?
Even the Bloody Mary is not going to get you. The
best
Bloody Mary in the world or multiple ones are not going to get you there.
It's the one that you just kind of hang on to the edge of the couch for the whole day and then wake up in the morning being completely surprised that you're still alive.
So for the kids in the audience, are you concerned that are you hoping that they pay attention and that they should not go the error of your ways?
No, I think they should do whatever they want to do.
Wow. There goes your fan club right down the tubes. So now you do all of this, and now you're out performing it live.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you work with your players to now come back and get this to be.
Oh, it was so fun.
Because prog rock's not easy to do live.
Well, I mean, luckily the guys that I play with, it's their favorite kind of music. So when they heard the album, they were like, thanks for writing this. It's so much fun to learn how to play. You know, because there's just so many. And actually, the record is only four or five instruments on every song. It's just all the parts are really, we took the time to think them out melodically so each little note would count. I feel very comfortable when I'm on the road and on stage. It's, you know, when I'm home doing normal things, that's when I'm kind of a fish out of water. But yeah, when we did a show, it was our first full band show in years, and with all the new songs. And usually when you play new songs to an audience, they're, you know, a bit like, oh, this is cool, and then they'll go get a drink or go outside and have a smoke or just kind of sit there like a deer in headlights. But everybody was grooving, you know, and I think this is the first record I have too where most of the songs are groove based rather than, you know, vocally based. Even though it's a very vocal record, but it's, you know, this song has like, you know, kind of Pink Floyd version of disco grooves in it.
And now, did I also hear that Neptune City is being re-released?
I guess so, yeah.
So what do you think? You think that's kind of cool that people will now be able to kind of have an interesting reference point for what is way over here and what was
I just
way
think
over
it's
there?
It feels like that record didn't come out that long ago, so it's a little bit funny to me that it's getting reissued.
You get your greatest hits collection.
Oh man.
So do you want to be a Gasoline Bride?
I am one.
So tell me about that.
I don't know if I want to be one, but it's comfortable. I just, you know, kind of figured after you know, when you have that first, or when I had that first big heartbreak, you know, I had all these ideals of, or, you know, what my life would look like, and I'd get married and have kids, and now I've realized that, you know, that even though I might get married and have kids, I'm always going to be on the road because it's where I feel comfortable, you know, so it's like, you know, my heart is full if I have a full tank of gas, you know.
That's a great, man, that is a country and western song right there. That was Nicole Atkins with My Heart is Full If I Have a Full Tank of Gas.
My heart is full of gas.
Well, that's a whole... Now, wait a minute. That's a whole another issue. Pop songs are easy to get on the radio. But The good news is it's 2 years later and it's a whole different world and people discover stuff. So are you concerned? Do you care if any of these are, quote, hits on the radio? Because you're making a prog rock record.
I don't know. I think they are radio hits. I think I've got like
ten of them
on this.
No. Well, you know what? I do too. But there's different types of radio.
Yeah,
these
but
days.
would it fit in modern day radio? I probably not. But if it was maybe 1978, sure.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember doing this. It's two of your songs as the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.
Okay.
And it's 40 minutes of solid music without any interruptions.
Oh, wow.